From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Many aftershocks continue rattling New Zealand after a powerful 7.8 magnitude earthquake jolted South Island early Monday, killing at least two people. Tanya Allardyce is a local grocery store manager.
I was lying in bed and, yeah, everything started shaking and then it got worse and it just didn't stop. I don't like earthquakes at the best of times. So, yeah, it was quite frightening.
The quake struck a remote, sparsely populated region north of Christchurch, causing landslides, rupturing roads, a small tsunami, and damage to buildings more than 200 kilometres away in the capital, Wellington. A dam was breached on the Clarence River north of Kaikoura, prompting officials to urge residents to seek higher ground. Prime Minister John Key is set to visit the area later Monday.
In terms of the areas that are most affected, that's clearly on the east coast around that sort of Kaikoura area and inland around Colverton and the likes. We've had very limited communications there because that's been cut off, so we've been working through police comms during the night. In terms of getting a better assessment of what happens next, we have military helicopters that are available to us.
A 6.3 quake in Christchurch in 2011 killed 185 and caused widespread damage. Meanwhile, a 6.2 magnitude quake struck northwestern Argentina Sunday. Muslim leaders in Mauritania Sunday urged authorities to execute a blogger who has been sentenced to death for apostasy for challenging decisions by Islam's prophet Muhammad. Sheikh Ould Makater has been in custody for nearly 3 years. If carried out, his execution will be the first in the country since 1987. Mauritania is an Islamic republic in northwest Africa tolerating slavery and female genital mutilation. This is VOA News. President Obama embarks on his final official visit overseas Monday with stops in Greece and Germany. Some analysts say he'll seek to reassure European leaders in the wake of Donald Trump's presidential election victory. Meanwhile, European Union foreign ministers met Sunday in Brussels to discuss the possible impact of a Trump presidency on transatlantic relations. EU foreign policy chief Federica Mogherini indicated Sunday the EU must spend more on defense.
I see the needs for Europeans to strengthen their security and defense agenda and cooperation, regardless of changes in the administration in the United States. It is indeed very timely that we discuss these decisions and take these decisions already tomorrow. But again, this would have been true with any kind of administration, I believe. It could be. We'll see what kind of determinations the next administration will take on defense, but it could be more relevant in the future. In any case, this is something it's in our interest to do.
The EU leaders also reaffirm their commitment to climate change accords and the Iran nuclear deal. An Israeli ministerial committee has voted to legalize an unauthorized Jewish settlement in the West Bank built on private Palestinian land. The vote comes as the Israeli Supreme Court ordered the evacuation of all residents from the Amona settlement near Ramallah and its demolition by December 25th. The Iraqi military says it captured the city of Nimrud near the site of an ancient Assyrian city from Islamic State militants. It's located south of Mosul, where a month-long joint Iraqi-Kurdish effort to recapture that city continues. Pakistan's Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif Sunday opened a new international trade route linking southwestern Gwadar port to the Chinese city of Kashgar, part of a multi-billion dollar joint economic project.
Pakistan is located at the intersection of three engines of growth in Asia, South Asia, China, and Central Asia. CPEC will help in integrating these regions into an economic zone, offering great opportunities for people of the region as well as investors from all over the world.
The first Chinese flag vessel arrived at the Pakistani port with the first consignment of China's so-called One Belt, One Road initiative, linking Xinjiang region with the Arabian Sea. In Moldova, a pro-Russian candidate for president has won the second round of a contest that could determine the country's future ties with the European Union. Igor Dodon apparently upsetting his pro-Europe rival Maia Sandu with about 54% of the vote. China has announced a mixed bag of economic news, fixed asset income rising 8.3% in the first 10 months of the year, while industrial output and retail sales both weakened. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.